This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And how are you, Scott?
Pretty good. Just dropped $200 on a fake Christmas tree, and now I'm trying to figure out how it all goes together and how to avoid having the kid take it down. So, holiday season. How's it going, boys?
Guru, you can handle that. I know nothing about that.
Hey, Scott, just a real quick about, I grew up with the fake tree, and my wife of 15 years, when I tried to introduce the fake tree to our family, I got destroyed. But so we have, but I'm glad you got a nice one, $200. Yeah, that's not cheap.
It better be.
Scotty, let's talk Silver and Black, that game on Monday night in Mexico. The elements, the crowd, all the things that went into that game. I walked away from it being more of a believer. I mean, the bottom line is you have Derek Carr, who is a fantastic franchise quarterback. And if you have that in the NFL, you can go some places. What did you make of that game?
I really thought that it was just a continuation of a trend that's been going on since the season opener, is that this team doesn't make any excuses for itself, and it won't let those types of things enter into their heads. Like, they won't think, oh man, we're all sucking wind, we're playing at 7,200 feet, we've really gotten beat for three straight quarters, oh, this is an L. That doesn't happen here. And I think, of course, it starts with the quarterback. And I was talking to offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave about why Derek is better in the fourth quarter. And Bill was saying that he's very good at accumulating information over the course of three quarters and saying, what worked, what didn't? How would this guy react to this type of adjustment? And that's why he and Musgrave and Rodney Hudson can all huddle up and say, all right, here's what we need to do here. Here's how to best beat this team. And they make those subtle adjustments throughout the game. And when it matters most, they remain calm and confident that the information that they've gleaned and how they want to use it will help them win. And when you have a track record like this, confidence obviously comes from that.
Scott, let me know if I'm off basis with this assessment of defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. I thought they let Osweiler sit back there and just get as comfortable as my kid's friends on a sleepover, as opposed to bring the kitchen sink. And all the other games that the Texans have played, we saw Brock is not good against the blitz. And, you know, there were some questionable calls that went the Raiders' way. Were you at all surprised or a tad bit nervous that the Raiders may have been facing defeat, not bringing pressure on Brock?
You know, I went back and looked at the numbers, and early in that game, Brock was doing well against the blitz. Now, that may not be his track record all season, but he was identifying hot routes, and he was able to move the ball downfield effectively. Gosh, I wish I had those numbers right in front of me, but I think on this particular day, they thought every time that we blitz, we're leaving areas of our coverage unit open that he's managing to exploit. Before Monday, I didn't really love what Brock Osweiler does, and I still really don't, but I thought he was good at that. So I think after a while, they sort of thought, you know what? We're going to put eight guys back. We're going to try to rush with four, trust our edge rushers, and get him to make some mistakes. And he did. He threw one right to Malcolm. That Malcolm Smith picked one. David Amerson should have picked one. And, you know, they only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter. So I think this was kind of an outlier that maybe Brock had made some adjustments, been better against the blitz, to finding that open hole in coverage. And then they were like, all right, well, let's do something different. So I like how this defense, and I'm giving this coaching staff a lot of credit, and when you're 8-2, these things happen, is that they are making adjustments late in games, and that's why they're good in the fourth quarter.
Scott Baer, check him out. Oakland Raiders insider for CSNCalifornia.com on Twitter at BearCSN. Good enough to join us. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game. Scott, when it comes to these two quarterbacks that are going to be playing tomorrow, I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to it, but I would err on the side of rolling with Cam Newton over Derek Carr. Am I wrong on that assessment? If they had the same offensive line, same wide receiver core, same running back, same everything, who would you take?
It's hard to go. I can see both sides of the argument because you're going to go against a reigning MVP who just led his team to the Super Bowl. That's a tough thing to go against, especially considering that he can be such a matchup problem because he's huge. I mean, he's just massive as a person. So, but Derek Carr is, you know, third year guy. I think maybe if, I don't know how long Cam Newton's been in the league since 2011, I guess. So if you put Derek, let's say, into the same year, I think then you have a really tough argument because I love the way that Derek can make all the throws and I like his leadership maybe better. I can see both sides of the argument, but, you know, I think they're both special players. I don't think you can go wrong, but I'm sure if you ask anybody in Alameda about who they would rather pick, they're going with number four because this is a guy who is only in his third year and is already in that MVP conversation. But yeah, both guys are pretty good, and I think it's going to be a really interesting game tomorrow in terms of chess match, in terms of what these quarterbacks can get away with and how the defenses counter them. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting game tomorrow, despite the fact that the Panthers are only, 4-6.
Scott, I guess exciting can be the word, but how exciting is it for the Raiders organization to watch number 42, I'm calling him the new Ronnie Lott, come up to the pile and just lay a hammer almost every time somebody's running the ball or a receiver catches it? What have you seen from Joseph, and are you shocked?
I mean, they were so high on this guy about his game tape, and after he was drafted, I don't think many people thought that they would take a guy with a knee issue on spec, basically not having seen him during the pre-draft process, but coaches just raved about his game tape. And I went back, and you see these highlight reels, and you see lots of him just attacking and big hits and blowing up receivers and things like that. What I've been impressed with, and what has been a topic down in Alameda all week, was that, yeah, he is a big hitter, but he's also a pretty disciplined tackler as well. He had 10 tackles on Monday night, and I think that those are the types of things, because sometimes you have a big Steve Atwater type of of player that lays those big hits. Sometimes they swing and miss, and those home run hitters can leave you deficient in the back if they miss. And Carl Joseph doesn't miss very much. I think he knows when to go big, and he knows when to just bring the guy to the ground. And I think that's been most impressive for me. And the fact that he can do well in coverage. Sometimes you'll see Reggie Nelson come up to the line of scrimmage, and they trust Carl Joseph to play center field. And you just see this kid evolving. And I think still, I believe that he trusts his knee. I just think he believes there's more explosiveness left in it. Just like what they always say about Achilles tears is that year after you're healed, that's when you really get your juice back. So maybe next year he might even be more explosive. But I don't think that they are surprised. But it has been nice to see a guy who wasn't starting, who was being brought along slow, to see where he has right now. I think his potential is even greater once he gains more experience.
Scotty, always appreciative of when we get you on here, and I know how much you cover this team. What would be the biggest worry? Because, I mean, I would think it would be something defensively, but where are you at in terms of why you would be scared as opposed to optimistic when it comes to this team?
Are we talking about just like the entire season or this particular game?
Just the team, the actual personnel.
Okay. Yeah, I think when you look at the personnel, you think they are an injury away from being being really deficient in one area. For example, they lost Shalit Calhoun, right? And he was their only other edge rusher. Like, their starting 11 is pretty good. But for example, like, you lose Malcolm Smith or Perry Riley, you have a six-round rookie who's still learning his way coming in. That there are some areas where they don't have a lot of depth. Without Smith and Edwards, if they lose Irvin or Mack, it takes them down quite a bit, where offensively I think that they could survive that. So I think it's just a matter of that they're, you know, a key injury or two away defensively from being in trouble, where I don't see that offensively. So I would say that's it. But their starting 11 is pretty good. Will the snap count, which is so high, will it wear on those guys? over the course of the season, and really when they need to be peaking in December and January, will they be able to handle that? Now, they have a good strength and conditioning program, but if I had to identify one worry for this 8-2 team, it would be, can they survive a big loss on defense?
Nobody giving you better Raiders insider things from Scott Baer, Oakland Raiders insider for CSNCalifornia.com on Twitter at BaerCSN. Thank you, Scott.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, boys.
All right. See you mañana. I'll be there.
Do you have the real tree?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.